Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, my friend. Glad you're with me. Today's show, a replay of our live broadcast from this last Thursday, the Leon County Supervisor of Election Forum presented by the Downtown Tallahassee Business Association. Stay with me. This is a great opportunity to learn more about this important office.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits, if we're talking about a general medical office visit.
Right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We are here. We are live. Thank you for joining us, my friend, on this very special occasion. We are on MooseMagnificat.com, bringing you live coverage of the Downtown Tallahassee Business Association presentation of this community forum in which the three candidates for Leon County Supervisor of Election will be here, and they're going to be talking to this assembled audience of folks. I've got Jenny Lauer with me this morning. Jenny, how are you?
Good. How are you, Brian?
We are doing very well, I think, because we have this rare opportunity. We are coming to you live from the beautifully appointed and, 15 million dollars worth of renovation, four points by Sheraton in downtown Tallahassee. We've got with us Christina Holm. How are you?
I am great, Brian. Thank you for having me.
What a great opportunity for this hotel and for Tallahassee, being a longtime resident of Tallahassee and watching the transformation with this particular hotel. There's a lot of charm here, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This hotel has been a staple of Tallahassee for years. When it was originally opened in 1969 as the old Holiday Inn, was a staple, the largest building in Tallahassee until they built the Capitol.
Isn't that something?
So there is a lot of rich history here, and we are so honored to be a part of
it. It's remarkable. And for the Downtown Tallahassee Business Association to have chosen to be here, I think, is in keeping with their purpose. Their mission is really to celebrate, then, what the downtown area brings to the community. And you're very much plugged into that, it seems.
Absolutely, absolutely. Four Points by Sheraton and everyone here, we really care about being involved in the community, and that's why we are very proud members of the Downtown Business Association and active participants in this thriving downtown area.
So here we have this occasion when this community forum is about to take place. My notes tell me they're going to kick off about 8:30 Eastern Time, and the whole event will continue for about an hour. We will be here throughout. I know, Jenny, you've looked a little bit at the backstory on why this particular office is so significant. Tell us a little bit about what it means to be the Superintendent of Elections.
Well, the Supervisor of Elections has the capability of determining outcome of even major elections with just the roles and responsibilities that they carry out, you know, throughout just their overall job. I mean, you see the list of things they have. I mean, you look at it, you're like, what does the Supervisor of Elections really do? And it's like a laundry list of things that you wouldn't even think about. I mean, everything from the order of names listed on ballots, which can be important, to whether or not early voting should be permitted, when and where, and all the details with that.
So, in fact, the Supervisor of Election potentially can have influence in the outcome of any given election. And this applies to not only county offices, but as well any city elections, of course, state and federal. So it's a responsibility that includes maintaining a vigilance over the funding of these campaigns, and those treasurers that are responsible for those campaigns have to file with this office, is my understanding. When we look at the three candidates that we have this morning, we have Mark Early and Tina Pate, and then Representative Alan Williams. As of late yesterday, we weren't confirmed whether Representative Williams will be able to join us here this morning. Apparently, there was a bit of a snafu in his schedule, but we do have Tina Pate here, and I know that Mark Early is here. So we're going to continue this broadcast just by having opportunity to bring you all of the details. Let's talk again about this hotel. You know, in 1978, when I moved to Tallahassee, I began attending a business function. It was a monthly banquet. And that banquet happened in this very room where we're sitting today. So when you talk about full circle, here I am. I don't even want to count how many years later, but everyone else in the room seems much younger than I am. And with that, it seems appropriate to say that with the hotel having gone through this transformation, maybe even old guys like me can be transformed. When you think about the role that you have, not just in the business community, in your position here, you really have a heart for families, it seems to me. There's a lot of family kind of stuff here, huh?
Absolutely. Family, community, that is what we're really passionate about here, and we try so hard to provide unique events and opportunities to be able to bring the community together and just support the incredible residents of Tallahassee.
Yeah, and you know what happened too for me personally? This hotel, many times I've had family members stay in Tallahassee and stay at this hotel over the years. There's a kind of, I mentioned it earlier, a kind of charm, I guess you'd say, the heritage that is Tallahassee. You mentioned the fact that it's, in its day, it was the largest building in downtown Tallahassee. And here it is now in the contemporary facility that it is. And the amenities are remarkable. It just has a very sophisticated and yet sort of relaxed feel about it. It doesn't feel stuffy to me, I guess.
We definitely aim to reach the business and leisure travelers that come to Tallahassee and providing them a home away from home, somewhere where they can feel comfortable and important, and that is definitely our goal.
Christina Holmes, she is with this lovely hotel we know as the Four Points by Sheraton in downtown Tallahassee. Thank you, Christina, for
being
our guest this morning.
Appreciate it, Brian.
Yes, and if I've called you Christine or Chris or whatever, it's early. I need more coffee.
I would never hold it against you.
Okay, so by the way, it is Christina Holmes.
It
is.
You got it.
I want to go on record saying that. We have another guest with us too, by the way, and this young gentleman has, for his part, contributed sizably to the ongoings of this organization that is hosting today's event, and that is the Downtown Tallahassee Business Association. Their president, Jared Willis, is our guest. Hey, Jared.
Hi, how are you doing?
You're looking spiffy, my friend.
Well, I had to dress up.
This Did you?
The once a month that I ever have to do this.
Okay. Well, for those radio listeners, let me just describe his ensemble that he's got going on here. No, we won't embarrass you any further. In fact, the DBA, as we love to say, is making a lot of inroads with places around Tallahassee, even beyond the downtown area. Now, this is the Downtown Business Association, but you've made contribution, and here's an example where we have this community forum. What's the impetus for that? Why are you doing this, I guess?
Well, I think the point of these candidate forums and the political forums and our involvement in things that go beyond downtown Tallahassee is that, you know, that we are the Downtown Business Association. There's a lot of things in Tallahassee and Leon County that affect businesses that are outside of what you would call our jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And this year especially, 2016, you know, I think we've seen kind of from the national the national election process that people are a little bit more clued in. And we're trying to take advantage of that and get people clued in, not only at the national level, but at the local level, because we feel like that really affects the way local businesses do business, whether it's downtown or in the surrounding Leon County.
And now you're privy to a lot of the advancement that we've seen just in the last several years. Infrastructure, new buildings, there's all kinds of new construction going up even as we speak. That's got to be pretty exciting for a guy in your situation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always it's always fun to kind of hit your horse to a cart that's moving. So, you know, it's nice to look around and see progress and not necessarily to have to push or be loud or, you know, just to kind of cheer it on.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what we're able to do at the Downtown Business Association. Yeah. You know, downtown, you know, luckily in this time is already on people's radar. It's already a destination.
Yeah.
And so all we have to do is continue to kind of carry the banner, if you will,
and
cheer it on.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
It's remarkable, too, that we see the participation of so many businesses. And your membership, as I look at it, is a pretty good cross representation of various kinds of businesses. I know that Four Points by Sheraton, they're members of the DBA. Tell us about some of the other members, I guess.
Well, I mean, our member, like you said, it's a great cross section. We have, law firms, lobbyist firms, associations. We have a lot of hospitality members. We have the restaurants downtown, the hotels. Four Points has been a huge contributor to us. Cheryl Horn sits on our board, and we've never had an issue getting space from them. And they're always great hosts. You know, our members, you know, it varies. We have, I think this year we've doubled our membership. And, you know, we're seeing new people all the time. We've got new event planning organizations. And it's been really cool to see the variety of businesses that are downtown.
What do you anticipate now? I know the forum begins officially at 8:30 this morning. I'm seeing a few people already beginning to gather here. What do you expect to have happen? Tell us about today's event.
Well, you know, the Leon County Supervisor of Elections race, I don't think that people pay as much attention as they do to maybe some other races, and I'm hoping to change that this morning. People don't realize that a lot of times elections are won and lost by who shows up at the ballot box. And many times the local county and city supervisor of elections in different municipalities are directly responsible for ensuring that people show up to vote, making sure that they are able to do it efficiently, that it's an easy process, that they know where to go. So all of those things kind of play into that, and we want people to be here, we want them to ask questions, and we want them to realize that this is not just another local race, this is an important race.
We talked a little bit about that here a few minutes ago. Jenny and I were discussing the significance of this office. And as you point out, a lot of times we don't realize that the role that the supervisor plays can actually have influence on the outcome of any given election just by certain decisions that are made. We mentioned early voting as an option, even the locations, the time, the day, the way that names appear on the ballot can have an influence. With Leon County especially, and here we have Tallahassee being the one municipality in Leon County It seems to me it's even more critical than maybe it is for other counties. I don't know if that's a fair assessment, but it seems to me that with our community, everything is just is concentrated. You know, because they say you don't have to put your turn signal on because we all know where you're going. I mean, so Tallahassee is this small town with a lot of people and all of us congregated here. So I suspect that when a lot of us think about how elections are processed, especially in Florida, some of us are able to recall not too long ago when the outcome of a presidential election in Florida ended up on a hanging chad kind of question. So when one stops to think about the significance of the, we'll call it process, right, the mechanics of, that's where it begins and ends, doesn't it?
Right.
So all of the campaigning and all of our lofty hopes rest on whether or not this particular office has its act together.
Well, and people don't realize, too, that this is not an every 4 years type of deal. I mean, we have elections every 2 years, and within those election years, we also have primaries. I mean, and the supervisor of elections handles all of that. So it's not just, you know, it's not a leisurely job. It's a, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, and it's important.
Right. I know you've got to move on because you've got to get ready for this. We're about 10 minutes away from the start of this thing. Folks, you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We are coming to you live this morning on MooseMagnificat.com. Our guests, Jared Willis, who is president of the Downtown Tallahassee Business Association, and our very lovely guest, Christina Holm, who is with Four Points by Sheraton. Thanks for being with us, Jared.
Thank you.
We'll let you go. Folks, I tell you, as we consider how many races are actually in play, Bill Cotterell and I talked about this here a couple of weeks ago when he was on the show. And this is a guy who has made his living tracking and following and reporting on electoral issues, we'll call it, or government, community. I mean, as a reporter, long-standing reporter with Tallahassee Democrat, this is a guy who has worked that beat with amazing tenacity and insight. And his comment to me was, Brian, maybe you and I should run for office, because everybody, it seems to me, is running for office. So there are so many decisions. And as voters, when we're presented with all of these decisions that we have to make, I question whether or not we are as informed as we might want to be or like to be or should be. Well, so here you have this forum this morning, and we're doing our part in trying to get it in front of you so that you know who these people are. And again, for the sake of you who may just now be kind of waking up to this whole thing, literally and figuratively, we have Tina Pate, who is one of those candidates running for Leon County Supervisor of Elections. Then you have Representative Alan Williams. Now, again, we're not quite sure whether Representative Williams will be here. As of late yesterday afternoon, it was doubtful because he had a conflict in his schedule that came up unexpectedly. We hope for the best, but anyway, the other candidate is Mark Early. We're going to be hearing from all of those folks as we get forward into this whole thing. We're about 10 minutes away from the beginning of this forum, and we're going to stay with you for the next hour. So we'll be continuing our coverage of this very important event for Leon County, for Tallahassee, and certainly for our listeners. We still have with us Christina Holm. Christina, when you think about how the hotel itself can accommodate an event like this, it seems to me that you have a way of connecting with the business community because you're, the way the facilities are laid out. I love the fact that you're on this lower level of the hotel and you have all of these meeting rooms that just seems to be very easy to get around.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people don't even realize that we have over 7,000 square feet of meeting space, and it is all here on this lower lobby level with direct entrance from the parking lot. We make it so easy, and we are so honored to have the opportunity to host events and forums like this. Like you said, it's so important for our local residents to be informed when they're making their voting decisions, and that's why we are so excited to have the opportunity to host this event and the other debates that we have hosted, and hopefully that will make a difference in the community and help have more informed voters in 2016.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there. Brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You're listening to a replay of our live broadcast of the Leon County Supervisor of Election Community Forum right here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Seems like a very worthy task, and in that capacity, you have to consider how many times have you seen this kind of thing come together this way. This is a new thing for Tallahassee, and I think in recognizing the cooperation, I mean, here you have the DBA, you have Four Points by Sheridan, Moose Magnificat, and Tallahassee Talks, and we've all come together on this task. Mm-hmm. I should point out, too, by the way, folks, that we are here this morning because we have some very well-intended and contributive sponsors, including Four Points by Sheridan. So it would be fair to say that our broadcast today is being brought to you in part by Four Points by Sheridan here in downtown Tallahassee, along with our very good friends, Tallahassee Family Magazine. Tallahassee Family Magazine hit the racks about a year or so ago, and the subtext for this magazine is Real Stories, Real Families, The Real Tallahassee. So when you pick up a copy of Tallahassee Family Magazine this week, you'll find them at any and all of the Publix news racks around town, and various professional offices now have them. The hotel here has copies of the magazine for you. You're going to find an interesting display there, both in terms of the pictorial aspects. The creative director for the magazine is a celebrated photographer and designer, Dave Barfield, who for many years has been well known to this community. What a marvelous contribution he has made with this magazine. So we're excited to have them on board as one of our sponsors this morning. Folks, this is how it rolls here. When you're live, we're watching folks meander in as they gather for this historic event. And I would guess we have probably about 30 or 40 folks that are getting coffee and chatting among themselves. A lot of familiar faces here. We've got Brian Schmock, who has a significant role with Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce, also involved in the hospitality business with one of the other hotels here in town. Of course, we've already talked with Jared Willis with DBA and our friend Christina Holm with Four Points by Sheridan. I do see a couple of other folks. Tina Pate has arrived, so she's here. Bo Schmitz, who is also with the hotel here, he's their general manager. It's starting to key up a little bit, isn't it, Christina? You getting excited?
I am. I love this kind of thing. It's really exciting.
You know, it's interesting. My father was in the hospitality business, as we refer to it, for his entire career. And in growing up in and around that business, I really get your sense of excitement, because it's show business, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is. Our general manager, Bo Smits, he always mentions you are on stage all the time, whether you're in the front of the house, back of the house. You never know what you're going to see or who you're going to meet.
It's
so
amazing.
It is really an exciting place to be.
It is a cool thing. Mark Early has arrived, also one of the candidates who will be speaking with the crowd this morning. So we have Tina Pate and Mark Early on site. Jenny, you're a newbie for those who don't know Jenny. She is a late arrival here on the scene in Tallahassee. And as a graduate student in marketing, your observations are curious to me when you think about how this town works. And I mean, it's unfair to you, I guess, to ask you to give us too much background, but just your first impressions. How does it feel to be in Tallahassee, I guess?
One of the first things I noticed, you know, coming from primarily a campus perspective, you know, Florida State is what drew me to Tallahassee, but, you know, it was my understanding that College Town is very new and the downtown area is growing and changing a lot. And my dad actually stays at the Four Points when he comes here on layovers because he's a pilot. So that was always my point of reference, was this hotel. So that's always been really funny and kind of bookending that I'm sitting in it right now. But it's very obvious how much it's just changed in the last couple of years and how it's really just taken off. And so I'm curious to see where it's going to go.
It is remarkable. And that kind of change, we just see Rebecca coming in here from the Tallahassee Democrat. How are you this morning? Rebecca's here, okay. I think we can start now that Rebecca's here. We can actually get going, so we just have to wait. So, Jenny, you have this interest in marketing, advertising and such. When you think about how marketing has changed, here's a hotel, okay, there's Four Points by Sheraton. You look at all of the amenities that they offer. You look at the transformation they went through. I think in your world, the term is rebranding. Huh?
That's what they say. That's the term they like to use.
That is a term often used in this business of bringing something that has been in play into a new way of being and connecting then with even a newer audience of people, right? Well, my goodness, we mentioned earlier, Four Points by Sheraton committed $15 million. And Bo Schmitz was here at the very beginning of that whole process. Is that fair?
It is. He was here. His wife was here. They were wearing hard hats. They were here for every step of the process. And I think that that is really what shows and what makes us stand out, because his passion trickles down to every associate that works here.
Yeah.
And you can tell that when you come in, whether you're here to stay at the hotel or here for an event, you can tell that the passion is there and that truly all trickles down from the bell.
Yeah. And Jenny, when you think about then the business of moving that message to the general public, that's where you spend your time. You think about how do we take this new situation and make that understandable, right?
Right.
How do we connect to those folks?
Well, I mean, I think Four Points is doing it right. I mean, they obviously put their money where their mouth is in terms of what's important and what they want to achieve and where they kind of want to go and what they value. I mean, I'm looking at it now and I see, I mean, even things about being sustainable for the environment. I noticed that you guys have solar power panels. You know, I mean, tell us about what Four Points has changed, maybe.
So during the renovation, we were able to keep 96% of the original construction.
Wow.
And we were able to recycle 79% of the materials that were used.
That's amazing.
I mean, those are huge numbers. And we are Tallahassee's only LEED certified green hotel. And so there are so many sustainable initiatives that have been taken. The solar panels that you mentioned, put back 14,000 kilowatts of power. In just the first 5 months of 2016, we've returned that to the city's grid. I mean, it's huge, huge numbers. So I think that that is another thing that makes us so unique and something that, you know, we are all very, very passionate about.
And LEED certification, for those who don't know, is a big deal.
It is.
It doesn't get doled out automatically. You have a vetting that you go through in order to be considered LEED certified.
Yeah.
We won't take the time right now to give us a lesson on that. So, folks, that's why Google was made, so that you look at that.
And, Brian, to your point earlier, you mentioned about the whole rebranding thing.
Yeah.
You know, you look at these points and you see where they're doing, and people are going to talk about it. People are going to look for the root cause. They're going to find what's genuine about a company. And when you're genuine and you have the things in place that people appreciate, then the word of mouth is going to do all the PR work that you're going to need anyway.
You know, absolutely.
That's the best way to do it. And so you can pump out all these press releases all you want, but end of the day,
feet on the ground.
People don't
absolutely.
Believe it. They're not going to read it.
And, you know, for us, too, that works. That's one of the reasons why we love participating in events of this kind, because when you're out here and people are seeing the value and they're hearing the value, all of a sudden it becomes real for them, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we've sort of tied the bow. In fact, folks, we're looking at several of these folks who are coming to the front of the room. The official start time for this forum today is 8:30. We are now at that moment, but I think they may be delaying just a bit. I see Mark Early is here. He looks like he's ready to go for it. And so what we hope for is a lively discussion. But if, for those of you who don't know, in fact, the way that this happens, it is not positioned as or referred to as a debate. So you're not going to have questions being peppered at this assembled number of candidates. Rather, each one will be given opportunity to present their viewpoint and what they want to bring to the office.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So it's more a presentation than it is a debate or discussion. Now, having been here for the prior Leon County Sheriff's Forum, we found that to be very similar in nature. There was a time toward the end of the program when questions were fielded from those in attendance. So I would expect the same thing to happen here. But I did notice that there was a great deal of civility among the candidates in that particular forum. I would expect the same thing to happen here. You're not going to hear any sort of crying out of the candidates at one another or barbs being thrown back and forth. If they even refer to one another, it's likely that it'll be a matter of comparing and contrasting what each one would do, particularly if they were to be fortunate enough to have the office. So that's kind of a little background on how we think this will go down. Again, we're going to stay with you through the entire proceeding, and so we expect that we'll be on air with you until about 9:30 this morning. You are listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We are the production of Alcom Entertainment. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny, who we see at the helm. there at the other end of the room, mastering all that he does in his command post. It's a remarkable thing.
I love how he's wearing sunglasses.
He is in his
classic
traditional,
his
customary garb, and looking quite the man. We are here courtesy of Tallahassee's online radio station, Moose Magnificat. So this is Tallahassee Online Radio to the world that plays all local artists all the time. So if you've ever wondered, gosh, how come I can't hear Drew Tillman or Sarah Mack on my favorite radio station? Well, now you can, because Moose Magnificat does just that. Moose Magnificat brings you local musicians playing their music all the time. And then it gets mixed in with some rather interesting conversations with some of these artists, like Sorn, Drew Tillman, Sarah Mack, Jerry Thigpen. All of them have come to the mic at various times and talked with the audience about their particular style, their music, their history. So it's a great way to get into the local music scene. MooseMagnificat.com. Simply go to that URL in your browser. It'll bring up the station page. You hit listen, and now you're listening to the best that Tallahassee brings to the world. And here we are bringing you this broadcast this morning, brought to you in part by our very good friends at Four Points by Sheraton, the hotel in downtown Tallahassee, known for its heritage, its contribution to the community, and its involvement in the business community. Christina Holm is our guest this morning, who is representing the hotel, and we've talked a lot about the physical structure. There's a kind of philosophy, I think, a kind of, if you will, a mindset that seems to, and you mentioned this, the trickle-down with Bo being your general manager, Bo Schmidt. So when you think about how this hotel sees the rest of us, is there a kind of perspective there that you're aware of?
We love the local residents of Tallahassee, and you know, you think of a hotel as a place that people from out of town come to stay.
Uh-huh.
But we look at it as, of course, we welcome all of our out-of-town guests that come to stay here, but we care so much about our local residents as well, and that's why it's so exciting to be a part of these fantastic associations like the Downtown Business Association, because that's our family. We love local Tallahassee, and we are so excited about the thriving downtown area
thriving.
A part of it. It is. It's incredible.
It's coming alive.
It's so exciting.
And it seems to me, too, the history for Tallahassee includes this idea that we are very seasonal, and football season, as it's referred to, has that sort of agrarian aspect to it. You know, that's the harvest. That's when everything just comes in, and hotels and restaurants, along with much of Tallahassee's business community, is affected by that.
Voter turnout was about 50% in the Leon County March primary, which set a new record for a primary. And Tina, this will go to you first this time. How do you plan to continue to engage the voters of Leon County and encourage them to be involved in the voting process?
When I announced my campaign on January the 7th, I talked about several initiatives that I wanted to launch. I talked about getting and making certain that our elderly citizens remain involved. I've had many conversations, and one such conversation occurred yesterday. I was talked to by this individual who said that she had for many years had this one precinct, one polling place that she enjoyed going to. She felt safe and secure. It had recently been changed to an area in that community, but yet it was still an area where she did not feel as safe and secure, and her friends were also expressing concern about that, and she was wanting to know why that happened. And so what she does now is she drives downtown. She's on the northeast side. She drives downtown now to vote. I've had conversations with other senior citizens who have talked about
the transportation accessibility, the physical challenges that they have. And I've talked with directors of assisted living facilities, and they've also shared concerns that the elderly population has. I know that they have services available to them in the polling place. Not everyone knows that. One of my platforms is to make certain that that population understands that there are services available, and if we need to enhance on any of them, that we do that as well. Also, want to get the youth more engaged. I've been talking to the youth all over the community. They're very excited about partnering up with our elderly official. I can't read your, it needs to be darker. Okay. So I want to engage the youth, and again, this is something that they're going to be in charge of our future, and we need to make certain that they understand their role in doing so, and having them plugged in, I think, is essential. I've talked about the military vote. I had conversations with individuals who don't engage because they're not able to get acclimated to a community before they're reassigned, and so they don't have the passion to remain involved. Also, we know that individuals have difficulty getting the information back timely.
Thank you. Same question for you, Mark. How will you continue to engage the voters of Leon County and encourage them to be involved in the voting process?
Thanks, Rebecca. I think Leon County has a well-deserved good reputation for engaging the citizens. We are usually within the top one or two counties for urban voter turnout. We're very proud of that. When Ion took office and we began this push, we were frequently down near the bottom. As you say, we had a record high turnout percentage of 50.5% this election. Statewide, we were about 43. It was about 43%. And many of the urban counties had it down to the 20% turnout. So I think we do a very good job here in Leon County. As far as engaging the population, we do go out and we make it a point. I've been to several already in preparation for the presidential preference and even the upcoming fall election cycle of going to assisted living facilities. We register people to vote. We make sure that if they've recently entered that facility, that their address is up to date. We bring vote by mail request forms so that they can get an absentee ballot there if they need to. So we really try and go out to all of these locations well in advance of elections, but also right up near the election time, we do a repeat pass to try and make sure that they're all served well. As Tina mentioned, the youth of our community, they're the future of our government and our ability to run a successful and a community where you want to be a part of and a good member of that community. We are in the schools all the time. We do free student elections with our standard voting equipment. We actually print ballots. They fill in the ovals and they put them in a voting machine, just like we do at the polling place. We've been leaders with kids voting, and we're proud of that. We recently have started, in addition to our school elections in the high schools, we go out and we register people to vote there.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits. Yeah. If we're talking about a general medical office visit,
right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You're listening to a replay of our live broadcast of the Leon County Supervisor of Election Community Forum right here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Students can register, of course, at 18, but they can also pre-register so they're ready to vote when they're 16. So we're very proud of that. We have a program called the Voter Registration Challenge where we have the schools compete with each other to see who has the highest voter registration of the seniors, and that's a good program. What else? We are at hundreds of events throughout Leon County, so thank you very much.
Our next question will go to you first, Mark, and this is about the big shoes that the next supervisor of elections in Leon County has to fill.
Hyon Sancho is serving his 7th four-year term as Supervisor of Elections. He has gained a national reputation for his expertise, and under his administration, Leon County's voter turnout has consistently ranked among the highest in Florida. Where does the Leon County Supervisor of Elections office need to go from here, and how will you take it there?
Thanks, Rebecca. As you say, Leon County is one of the top counties as far as elections go, not only in the state, but in the nation. We are very proud of our record of engaging the citizens and bringing innovation and through technology, but also through different outreach processes that we do. So we want to continue that. Some big areas we want to improve that I feel I've had a very big part in the success we've had in Leon County. Ion's always made me a partner in his ideas and always come to me for suggestions, as I think he's said many times. Some key initiatives we want to do. We're finally getting our operations under one roof. We've been spread out all over the county. As part of that, we're trying to bring people into our operations center more often to let them understand what's happening behind the scenes. Elections are not you work 2 days a year or every other year. It is a very huge logistical operation. There's a dynamic interplay between statute, rule, regulation, technology. You have to incorporate training materials that train our thousands of poll workers each election and get those policies and procedures ready to actually present to the public in a fashion that makes it very easy for them to understand the operation and to get out to vote. So we want to continue that. Another key point I want to do is become more transparent. I think in Leon County we led the way with that, but there is new technology coming online now that you can actually allow voters themselves to verify that the election was tabulated properly. I spent the last 6 years working with a company that Leon County's partnered with out of Boston to create some software that you can actually, we do a retabulation of all of our ballots. So we're tabulating them with one system and then retabulating them with another to verify that the count is accurate. And that second system can actually display all the ballot images and sort them as needed to see if the vote tabulation is correct. And in instances where it's a very close race, like in 2000, I had an integral part in that, and we saw the weaknesses in systems, we can now show through this new system that our votes are done properly.
Time. Thank you. The same question for you, Tina. Where does the Leon County Supervisor of Elections office need to go from here, and how will you take it there?
I agree with Mark's statements. I believe voter outreach is essential. It's necessary. I believe that we have many individuals in our community who are not involved, that we could get them engaged again. This is based on conversations that I've had. I also agree with Mark on the transparency issue. I think it is important that voters are confident that their vote is being counted. And I would definitely employ these methods as well. I can tell you that one of the first things I would do is to conduct an efficiency audit at the Supervisor of Elections office and making certain that we are using the taxpayer dollars in the best way, getting the biggest bang for the buck. Again, I believe Mr. Sancho has done a great job. I believe Mr. Early has assisted him well. But I don't believe it's perfect. I do believe that we can make improvements. And I think the elephant in the room is, why would you elect someone who does not work in the Supervisor of Elections office? I can tell you that I have looked at the backgrounds of all of the supervisors of elections in our state as well as across the nation, and many individuals serve as supervisor of elections who have never served in the elections office before. Farmers, bankers, developers, state legislators, etc. It is not an impossible task to learn. I believe that I am very well equipped to take on these responsibilities, and I look forward to the challenge.
Thank you. Our next question has to do with technology, which has already been discussed a little bit, but we'll get into that further with this question. And I think we're to you, correct, Tina,
yes,
for the first?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So technology has affected voting, as it has everything in our lives in recent years. What role should technology play in voting in Leon County in the years to come?
I believe it's essential that we embrace technology. Everything in our lives now are affected by technology. I also understand that there are concerns with the security of the technology as well as identity theft, etc. I think that whenever we look at these issues, we need to make sure that they're all addressed and that the voter confidence is high. Again, it's something that I do not think we can ignore. We have to be innovative. We have to be cutting edge to remain on the forefront across the nation of what we are doing. I also understand that we will be implementing the electronic registration in October 2017, and the latest information I have on that is that it's working well and that we expect it to all come together just fine. I think we should look at electronic voting for our military personnel. Again, one of the issues that we have is the timeliness of them getting their vote in. And I think we should also look at possible electronic voting for our individuals who have disabilities or some of our older citizens that have difficulty in getting to the precincts and the polling places.
Okay. And to you, Mark, with concerning technology, what role should technology play in voting in Leon County in the years to come?
Well, I think the key aspect of technology, it affects elections in two ways. One is to make elections more efficient. Tina had mentioned a concept of an efficiency analysis. We do that frequently within our office. We're proud of our ability to conduct elections in a very cost-effective way. And Leon County has, I think, led the way in that. I myself have designed systems in partnership with various companies that have literally started various industries, ballot on demand printing, election management software. Those were started in Leon County, the whole audit process. So we have established a great presence with that in Leon County. Moving forward, we want to take that audit system and potentially use that. We're advocating for legislation to do instant recounts. As part of this audit system, we can have a recount, if it's allowed by statute, and we're going to be pushing for that, to recount every race, even if they're not close races. This is open, transparent software that can let people see exactly how the vote is cast. Tina mentioned delivery of ballots and receiving the votes from our military overseas. Leon County's been a partner in leading the way with that. Our UOCAVA voters, Uniformed Overseas and Armed Veteran, I can't remember exactly what UOCAVA stands for, but it's the military people and their families overseas. We have an electronic process where we deliver the ballots through computer to those citizens overseas. They can fill out their ballot and then they can mail them in or fax them in. We are very much, at this point, against electronic voting, which typically means internet voting. Internet voting, I've been on a study group for a year and a half with scientists from Caltech, MIT, UCal Berkeley, and the technology just is not there for that kind of a process. So technology plays a big role. We're at the forefront of that. We have people from all over the country coming in to see how we utilize that and what processes and procedures and systems we've designed here, and they take that home to their jurisdiction to do the same.
Thank you.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Our next question has to do with voter fraud and accuracy in voting, and we'll start with you, Mark. Unfortunately, as we know in Florida, problems can occur in voting. Fraud allegations, for example, were recently reported in Gadsden County. How would you work to ensure accurate elections and to prevent fraud?
Well, we do work hard to prevent fraud and have accurate elections in Leon County. And as I say, we are seen as leaders of that throughout the state. Typically, voter fraud comes within the aspect of vote by mail or absentee voting. That is a process where you deliver the ballot to the voter, but at that point, they are voting in an area where it is not overseen by elections officials. Early voting or at the polls, they're in a controlled situation where people cannot really influence their vote. Voters who receive absentee ballots, they can be targeted because these lists of people that receive absentee ballots, those are published public lists. So that's an aspect where there is a problem. That's why we encourage early voting in Leon County. We have roughly 20% of our ballots are cast by absentee, 30% early voting, and 30% of the polls. We are fans of voters voting in person where our technology is. If there's a problem with their ballot, it'll come back and they can correct their ballot, whereas with vote by mail, you cannot. And we want to prevent against that. Other issues with technology, security. Voters can potentially vote twice without technology to prevent that. We have been leaders with electronic poll books. We have electronic poll books that immediately register whether a voter's voted already, and if they try and come out and vote at an early voting location or move from one early voting location to another, we prevent that because of our electronic poll books. There's a record immediately that shows they've already voted and we will reject their ability to vote again. There's also something called ERIC, which is the Electronic Registration Information Center. Essentially, that's a nationwide voter registration database. Florida is not a part of that. There's currently 15 states that are a part of that. That impacts people who try and register to vote in multiple states. We want to join the ERIC system. It's operated by the Pew Charitable Trust, and bring that safeguard to Florida.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And now to you, Tina. How would you work to ensure accurate and fair elections?
Well, I think first you need to look at the research on voter fraud. And while it is true that more fraud occurs with the absentee ballots and with the ability of individuals to vote in multiple states, you also should know that individuals are not necessarily interested in having the voter fraud or committing the voter fraud themselves. It comes from special interest groups. It comes from individuals with an agenda that's working in partnership, and it's across both lines. It doesn't belong on one side of the aisle. It's across both lines. So you have to guard against that. You have to make certain that you have a supervisor of elections who is strong enough to stand firm in what the responsibilities of a supervisor is and not engage with the special interest groups. Always be a listening ear, but not engage and try to affect the outcome. We also know that incompetent supervisors create an opportunity for voter fraud. I do not believe you have that in this situation in this county, but that is a concern. And then, of course, supervisors who work and have worked on a partisan basis create opportunities for voter fraud. And I think that by the casting of your vote, selecting the individual that has the most experience, maybe not in just one area, but in multiple areas, has proven leadership and the ability to understand that special interest groups has an agenda, I think that it's very important. I can tell you I was lobbied continuously at the commission where I was the chairwoman to achieve a certain outcome on offenders or their releases. And I knew that I had to do what was right in the best interest of all the citizens of our state, not just the interest of the special interest group. So I think that that's something that we have to be aware of. We have to be listeners. We have to provide opportunities for input. But we have to make certain that we adhere to what it is we're supposed to be doing.
Thank you. Our next question, and we'll start with you, Tina, has to do with voting rights for convicted felons. States vary widely in determining voting rights for felons, but Florida has one of the most restrictive policies for restoring felons' civil rights. More than 1.6 million Floridians, about 9% of our population, cannot vote, hold office, or serve on a jury. What is your opinion of Florida's current policy with regard to felons and voting rights?
This is a great question. I have worked in criminal justice issues for over 35 years. There is no way that I could not have an opinion about processes after working in the system for that long. I have many ideas for reform and improvement. What you first need to understand is the rules that we have for the clemency process are adopted by the governor and the cabinet. And so as the chairwoman of the Commission on Offender Review, my job was to administer and implement the rules that they passed. It is my personal opinion, and now that I'm not in that commission, I can speak to it. It is my personal opinion that I believe the rules are restrictive. And what I would like to do and am doing, I'm involved in conversations across the state right now with several stakeholders. I would like to see us look at not even taking the rights away of nonviolent offenders. I think that that's something that we need to look at. I don't believe they should be voting while they are serving their sentence, but I would like to let us have the conversation of not taking the rights away of nonviolent offenders. As far as the current rules, I believe they could be tweaked, modified. I do believe they are too restrictive.
Thank you. And to you, Mark, what is your opinion of Florida's current policy with regard to felons and voting rights?
I believe Florida's policy is one of the worst in the nation. I think it's somewhat of an embarrassment for Florida. I think the statutes regarding and the policies regarding restoration of felons' rights need to be overhauled, not just tweaked. I agree with Tina that if you're a nonviolent offender, your civil rights probably should not be taken away. Certainly violent offenders or offenders who have committed certain heinous crimes, I think their rights should be taken away until they've served their time. At the end of their parole or whatever the final sentencing requirements are for them, I think there should be an automatic restoration of civil rights. I think you do your time and you become a functioning member of the community. Without that, I think you're ostracized by society and you do not feel the same compassion and partnership with your fellow citizens. And I think you need to be welcomed back into the community and your civil rights should be restored. So I think it requires more than just a tweak. That's what I think.
Is there an opportunity for a follow-up?
I think we can allow that. I think we have, with the two candidates, we have plenty of time. So, and yes, and Mark, if you would like to follow up too, I'll extend the same opportunity to you.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits, if we're talking about a general medical office visit.
Right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You're listening to a replay of our live broadcast of the Leon County Supervisor of Election Community Forum right here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My follow-up would be on the violent offenders. It's easy to talk about automatic restoration of civil rights, but some of these cases are so horrendous. Some of the criminal histories are so horrendous that you would be appalled if you saw them, if you read the case. And again, this comes with my experience for working over 35 years in the criminal justice system. I do believe a review is necessary on violent offenders. Again, I think that we can take out the nonviolent offenders, but I don't believe that automatic restoration is what we're looking for. And then what you also need to know is there are many individuals without their rights voting. There are also are many individuals who have received restoration of civil rights who are not voting. So automatic restoration of civil rights is not the be-all, end-all for this. It is something that I think that we do need to have individuals looking at the cases. Now, whether or not the 5 or 7 years is appropriate, that's what I disagree with. I do believe the waiting periods are too long. And I have submitted proposals to the governor and the cabinet before. I've had conversations with staff. And again, I am engaged in conversations across our state now.
Thank you. Mark, is there anything else that you'd like to add on that topic?
Yeah, I guess I'd concede the point that there are certain offenders and certain types of crimes that are beyond the pale, and maybe that should be reviewed. I'll grant that point. But I do believe it's important that the waiting times, the vast majority of felon offenders should have their civil rights restored immediately upon the completion of their terms.
Okay. Thank you. Our next question concerns early voting, and I believe we start with you, Mark, on this one. What role should early voting continue to play in Leon County, and are there opportunities to expand early voting?
Early voting. We were the first county in Florida to start early voting. It began here. There was a lot of pushback from the state, but once the people that were serving the legislature actually partook of our early voting process, they realized it was a great way to serve voters, and we're very proud of our early voting process. We are always pushing early voting. As I said earlier, we prefer that over vote by mail if you can't be here election day, and to remove some of the log jam on election day. Early voting is the perfect opportunity. You can come in if there's a problem with your voting record. If you come in early enough, we can get that solved right then and there because our computers are tied directly into our databases. If we cannot allow you to vote right then or there's a problem, you can come back the next day or later on. It's not the last chance voting, so there's a great opportunity to serve voters very well through early voting. And we are always looking to expand that. Currently, we have 7 early voting sites. With our new operations center, once the construction is complete there, we'll be opening up an 8th. We are limited in other locations where we can have early voting sites by state statute. We've pushed back against a lot of that throughout the last decade or so to expand early voting opportunities, and we're always at the forefront of counties who are trying to expand that. We are proud of our early voting process here.
Thank you. And now, Tina, to you.
I am a proponent of early voting. I do believe that we have handled it very well in our community, and I know that other communities look at what we're doing here on this issue. I think it's worked well, and I agree with Mark in that it does address some of the issues that we have with the vote by mail process, and so I am a proponent for early voting.
Okay, thank you. Our next question, Tina, and we'll start with you, deals with voter ID at the polls. What is your stance on requiring identification at the polls?
I don't see where it has hurt us, to be quite honest. I think that on so many occasions we are required to provide identification, and because we have such a broad list of possible identifications to offer, I think that it's something that I support.
And the same question to you, Mark.
Yeah, voter ID in Florida is not the same kind of voter ID process you hear about in other states that is very right. Restrictive. In Florida, we do have many types of voter ID that are acceptable. Basically, for voter ID, you need a photo ID with a signature. And there are about 15 or 16. We just added 3 more types of voter ID that are acceptable with a photo ID and a signature. If one of the, including just basic government IDs, if your government ID does not have a signature but has your photo, as long as you have another ID that may not have a photo but has your signature, the two of those can be used to vote. However, photo ID is not required to vote in Florida. That's somewhat of a misconception. If you do not have a photo ID with a signature and you cannot present that when you are there to vote, you can always vote by provisional ballot. And provisional ballot, that means you are allowed to vote. You fill out a form. Your ballot is not fed through the voting machine. And we take this form. We review the data that's on the form, and we review your signature, compare it to the signature that we have of you on file, and we vote the vast majority of our provisional ballots. So while photo ID is seen and voter ID is seen as a requirement in Florida, it speeds up the process. You can actually cast your vote while you're there in person, but a provisional ballot is handled very much like an absentee ballot or vote by mail ballot. So if you do not have the voter ID when you are at the polls, you can still vote. We count the vast majority of those ballots by just comparing signature and verifying that you were at the correct polling place and have the correct ballot style. As long as those things are in order, we vote your ballot.
Great, thank you. That brings us to our final question before we open it up to Q&A from the audience. And this final question is just an open-ended opportunity for you to share with us anything that we either haven't discussed or anything else that you would like to expand upon further.
First, okay. Mm-hmm. I would say this. Tina made a good point that the elections should be about competence. I think my history in elections, my experience, my judgment proven by the innovations we brought forth in Leon County, the important endorsements I have, I don't get endorsements just to, you know, wave the flag. These are endorsements that show that I know what I'm doing. And these are from elections professionals throughout the state who see Leon County, frankly, as a resource for them. They do not want to lose the leadership that we've established within the state to advance elections technology, election statute, that makes the voting process better for the people. That's why I'm in it. I think the leadership I've shown there through the various innovations, it hasn't been said, but I've instructed about a third of the counties and trained their staffs and even their supervisors throughout the last several decades. IAN has sent me out to do that for the state. And I think that establishes me as a leader in elections with great judgment. People call me all the time. How can we tweak our processes? We're thinking of doing this. How does that impact all the other procedures and processes that we have in place? I think it's that broad spectrum knowledge based on experience and being a leader in the field that makes me uniquely qualified for this position. Every decision in elections is not made in a vacuum. It impacts many other facets, and without that deeper knowledge, it's very easy, as you've seen all over the state, for things to go wrong.
Thank you. And now to you, Tina.
I want to respond to a couple of comments, and I would not for anything take the endorsements away from Mr. Early that he has received. But I will say, in my conversations with many of our supervisors of elections across the state, I've actually been told by several that had we known you were getting in the race, we would have withheld our endorsement, not because Mark is not good and knowledgeable and would not do a good job, but because they also know what kind of a leader I have been in the state. So I just want to put that out there, too. You know, I only announced in January, and Mark got in the race last year, and that was a timing issue on my part. I want to tell you that I think that, just like Jared said at the opening, that this race is, I believe, the most important race in this community. I think equal may be the sheriff's race, but I think that this is a very important race. This comes down to who do you trust? Who has a leadership record? Who has worked in our state with other leaders and has been effective and efficient and everything? And I believe that when you walk into that booth, you need to have the confidence that not only does your supervisor of elections advocate for you and your rights, but the systems are going to work and that your vote and voice is heard and counted. And I would commit to you to do exactly that. Again, I have worked for many, many years in our state advocating for the rights of individuals and protecting rights, and I will do that in a nonpartisan manner.
Thank you.
I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We'll open it up to questions from the audience. Good afternoon. Good morning. And good evening. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much for being here today. I really appreciate the meeting here at the Four Points. I'd like to know from Mr. Early, who runs ERIC and why do you trust them?
ERIC is run by a nonpartisan consortium of states who have joined the process. It's funded, I believe, by the Pew Charitable Trust in whole or at least in part. And what it does, it's just essentially a database that has a standard format for having the data of voter registration from all the different states, and you could run birth date, identity, and if they have anything like the last 4 years social or your floor, or the driver's license, which would be different in different states, you can compare the voter registrations in different states and make sure, or as much as possible, that people aren't registering in multiple states. That's the key behind it. It's not something where if a name is flagged on the database that we automatically would take them off. That's left to the discretion of us. We would enter a research phase. But it does provide some protections against people, in Florida we call them snowbirds, people who register up north and then come down here and potentially attempt to vote. We know that that does happen. Right now there's no way for us to catch that in any shape or fashion. So there's really no way for us to, it's just another resource that we could use. Similar to the Florida voter registration system, it used to be each database in Florida was isolated by county, and there was no way to share the data there. We've created consistent, compatible data formats across the state, and if someone moves from one county to another, even on election day, they are now a citizen and registered within Florida. We can let them vote immediately. That's a great resource that serves voters well. In the area of security, the ERIC database just allows us a further check to prevent voter fraud.
Half of the county is in District 5, and I guess how would you engage voters who might be disconnected by congressional redistricting or just confused, you know, by being in a new district?
I think it's simply a matter of making certain that the information gets out there, that everyone is aware. And of course, there's been many conversations about the redistricting. And I think, again, that it's a matter of making certain that the voter outreach and education takes place in advance, and whether or not you need to go to the different communities or the different social groups and organizations to make certain that those conversations are had, then that needs to be done, as well as following up with written materials, of course.
And I can respond to that also. We played a big role in the congressional redistricting as far as we didn't have much input into the process, unfortunately. We tried to tweak the maps at the legislature to avoid some of the precinct splits, which create new precincts and new expense for the county. As everybody knows, everybody was unsuccessful at getting the maps redrawn. So at this point, we are stuck with what we have. We've led the way. We just completed our redistricting. It created 20 new precincts. Well more than half of our county is now in Congressional District 5. About 115,000 out of about 194,000 voters are in Congressional 5. So that impacts a lot of our population. After we completed our database transfer and shifting the congressional lines around and redistricting and reprecincting and all that, we established a process to try and minimize the disruption to voters. The vast majority of the voters will vote at their same polling place. They may have a different precinct number, but they will still get a ballot, they will still vote at the same location, and it should be almost transparent to them. Certainly their representatives will change. There's the issue that we were very much against, that Leon County is now incorporated into a congressional district, a big part of it, that extends all the way to Jacksonville. But it is what it is, and that's where we're at. So how do we react to that? Like, say we did our database changes very efficiently and thoroughly and quickly. We were ready to go clear back in December, but the state stopped us from doing that before the presidential preference primary. And so now we have sent out new voter ID cards to every voter that was impacted. Included with that was a map that showed the new district lines, especially focused down onto their precinct level. There was a description of exactly what happened, how they're impacted, why, and if there is a polling place change, which is a very, very small number of citizens. I think it's about 6,000 of our voters out of 194,000 are going to a new polling place. That was unavoidable in some instances. But we've as always, as our history shows, we have tried to be very communicative with the voters and let them know.
I think that concludes our forum for today. I want to thank the candidates for your thoughtful responses to our questions. Thank you both for being here. It's unfortunate that Representative Alan Williams couldn't make it today, but hopefully we'll get to hear from all three candidates at some point before the election. And thank you all for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mark, I thank you for a great debate.
Absolutely, Tina. Thanks for being here.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank Rebecca, too. That was very nice of her to offer to do that.
Yes.
Thank you all for being here again. Thank you to the Four Points for hosting us. They're always great hosts. Enjoy the rest of your week before Memorial Day weekend, and enjoy the three-day weekend. Thank you.
So there you have it, folks. So we have brought you this entire event live on MooseMagnificat.com. With a great deal of interest in how this particular race is going to play out in Leon County. Jenny Lauer, my co-host, we learned a lot about how this whole process then happens on the voters' side. So there's a lot of mechanics involved. Mark even referred to himself as a mechanical engineer, which I thought was...
Well, I think he was formerly, or, you know, his actual...
So if anybody
education.
Knows about machines, we know that Mark has that part covered. But it seemed to me there was a lot of balance between the two. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you hear any sharp differences?
No, I think just, you know, the method and how they kind of answer questions, more of a strategy, I guess, was the only difference I really picked up on. But I think as far as, you know, one thing that I can say is unbiased person, I'm not from here, but just listening to the two of them, that no matter who really of the two, again, I can't speak on behalf of Representative Alan Williams, but they're genuine leaders who want really what's best, and I don't think there's a hint of a hidden agenda there, which I think is something that people can kind of rest easy about as a voter in Leon County.
Sure.
You know, all the things that they do and all the positions that, you know, all the duties that their position holds is one thing, but who the actual person is that you're electing as the leader is another. And one thing that's nice is the fact that, to me, both of them came across as very genuine, very passionate.
Highly professional.
Yeah.
Very articulate folks, passionate about the role they would serve as supervisor of elections.
Which is refreshing, because you look at the national election and you wonder.
You wonder about that. And the fact is, I think that characterizes much of what goes on in Tallahassee and Leon County. When you look at elected officials, I have not met one. We've had a number of them on our show. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody from Nancy Miller to Brian DeLoge and back again, they all bring to the task this sense of passion or intensity about the community. Folks, we are pleased to have brought you this broadcast. The show today has been brought to you by the wonderful folks at Four Points by Sheraton here in downtown Tallahassee, our sponsor, along with Tallahassee Family Magazine. We are coming to you live on MooseMagnificat.com, Tallahassee online radio to the world. My host, along with Carl Cerny, who's back there engineering all of this, Jenny Lauer has been with us. Jenny, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
And thanks to each of you for being a part of our show today. We look forward to having you back again soon. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is here because we want to know what Tallahassee is talking about this week.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.